Not only is it, if only if you'd come from another planet, I suppose you'd have missed this, but not only is it Ash Wednesday,
it is Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day. I don't think, have I said that to you yet, Mrs. Brindle? No, happy Valentine's Day, Anna. marriage guide? No. So my three top Valentine's cards of the year in reverse order, alternative Valentine's cards options. Number three is a card for those that are increasingly patient. It's a playing card with the following words on the front, possibly increasingly impatient and increasingly frustrated. And the card says, "Here's another year of us being together without you proposing." The second card, which was a card, possibly a card that I'd have gotten for Anna if we did do Valentine's. It's another playing card, and it just has the words, "You're definitely one of my top five favourite people at the moment," which I think that's quite a good one, actually. And then my number one card, which is probably the card that Anna would have given me, probably. And it says on the front in very large letters, almost covering up the whole of the front of the card, it says, "I want you." And then in very small letters underneath, it says, "To put the bins out." So for the first time since 1945, Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday have fallen on the same day today. And Valentine's Day for many is a day to celebrate love and romance, a day to enjoy with a card, wine and a meal. Whilst on the other hand, we have Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent, a 40-day period of quiet reflection and fasting. In part mirroring the 40 days of temptation Jesus faced in the desert at the start of his ministry. Now, as I was checking out my facts about Ash Wednesday on Google this morning, I was being tempted by a co-op ad in the sidebar to buy a fancy bottle of Prosecco and a box of Thornton's chocolate. It was quite a substantial box of Thornton's chocolate for just a tenner. I don't know if the ad's still going, if anybody wants to look on their phones now. But I don't think I don't think that ad was targeting the Ash Wednesday market, because Valentine's Day is telling us to say it with chocolates, whilst Ash Wednesday and the start of Lent is making us think about abstaining from chocolates. To sort of get over this, last week some English Catholic bishops, suggested that Catholics who were keen to spoil their loved ones should do Valentine's Day, to do the stuff of Valentine's Day type stuff, do that on Shrove Tuesday, do that yesterday, and leave Ash Wednesday today for fasting and reflection. I've not checked with any of my Catholic friends to find out what kind of take-up this has had, but one thing that it may have been able to do, thinking about it, is it may have been able to spread out the rush of romantic meals over 2 days, over yesterday and today, which for those sort of less rushed off their feet restaurant staff, they may actually be thankful of that bishop's initiative. At the start of Lent, it is easy to focus on what we are going to abstain from between now and Easter. A few years ago, as a family, we gave up meat for Lent, and another family was just telling me that they've done the same. Two of the family were very chilled about it and have subsequently become vegetarians. Two of us were okay with it, but we occasionally missed bacon, to be honest. But one of our children was so desperate by the end of Lent that he claimed that we'd effectively tortured him and that if we did it again, he'd leave home. I think sometimes we're tempted to do that. Working out what we are going to abstain from during Lent is all well and good, and it is part of Lent, but it can have two unhealthy side effects. One, it can make Lent about us, what we do, what we are going to abstain from, and take the focus off Jesus and what he has done and what he has done for us. And for a lot of people, that is all that Lent is, giving up chocolate. And number two, we miss the bigger story, the true story of Lent and Easter. The story of Easter is also the story about you and me. And it's what we've been doing today in this church. It is the story that you are loved. Everything that Jesus said and did, he did to show you and me just how much you are loved. Now, for me, it's a good thing on reflection that Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday actually fall on the same day, because regardless of how Valentine's Day has been, and for many, Valentine's Day can be a bit rubbish, Ash Wednesday, Lent, and Easter still declares you are loved. You are loved by God, and you can see this by what Jesus said and did in his life, his death, and his resurrection. You may feel that you don't deserve to be loved, or that that opportunity has passed you by, or that you're a failure at love. But the events leading up to Easter and Easter itself cry out from the very essence of God's core that you are loved. And that love is a good love. One of the most familiar bits of the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, because we hear it a lot at weddings. It's the one that starts, love is patient, love is kind, and ends with, love never fails. The love that is described is the love that we are all longing for, the love that we sometimes get glimpses of, and the love that we would love to be able to give as well as receive. And it is the love that Jesus has for you. It's a love that Jesus carried for you through the events of Easter. Because the truth is, if we look at that reading from 1 Corinthians 13, as love is patient and love is kind, Jesus is patient and Jesus is kind. He does not envy, nor does he boast, nor is he proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. On Valentine's Day and every day, that is the kind of love that we long for. Not that life is easy with Jesus as part of our life. You and I will still know sadness and pain and loss. But you will also know that you are loved. Knowing that you are loved and loved to the core, with a love that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and never fails, is a love that shapes your life. It gives your life fullness. This is what I long for more and more in my life. That love from God that gives it fullness. Now, I think that might sound like a whole load of hippie crap. But we know from psychological study after study and from our own experience that the flip side is true. That if a child grows up not knowing that they are loved, not knowing that freedom and security that comes from knowing that they are loved, it also shapes their life. And it can cast a long shadow over the rest of their life. Knowing that you are loved does not remove the sadness, the pain, and the loss of life. Life is still life, and a lot of it still sucks. But knowing that you are loved and held, and that you are loved and held by a God that knows how to really love well, can shape the stuff that life throws at you. I'm not talking abstractly. I have known people with terminal illnesses who have been transformed by knowing that they are loved with a love that never fails. Some have gone on to die. Life is life, and a lot of it still sucks. But I want to know that love more than I do now when my number is up. I have known people who have lost their child, who have been transformed by knowing that they are loved with a love that always hopes and always perseveres. But life is still life, and a lot of it sucks. And sometimes that transformation looks like they're just about holding on to their sanity and their senses. But they manage to hold on to it with the thinnest whisper of hope, and they persevere, thanks to God's love. What does good love look like? What does the kind of love we all need look like? It is there in that list in 1 Corinthians 13. And included in that list are these words: love does not boast, it is not proud. In this regard, good love is a bit like good charity and good prayer and good fasting. From our reading from Matthew 6, we read Jesus telling his disciples what these things, when they are done well, should look like. And again, Jesus says, do your charitable giving, do your prayer, do your fasting in secret. Don't make a song and a dance about it. Don't be all showy about it. Literally, in verse 2, he says, don't go blowing your own trumpet. He then gives a warning. Those that do all their giving, their praying, and their fasting in public, making a big deal of what they are and what they do, will receive nothing more. That's it. That's all they'll get. The momentary recognition from others of what they've done. Because what they're doing publicly does not represent what they are doing in secret. What do you think when you see a couple who are all showy and public about their love? I don't mean young lovers holding hands, or overhearing an older couple sharing words of affection, or even a public kiss now and again. Not too much, we're British. All that stuff is great. But I mean the trumpet blowing, song and dance, check it out, we're incredible, and so is our love, kind of the public display. Does anybody else wonder if that is all their love is? If they receive anything more from each other when they're actually alone together? Or is that all they get? Does what they are doing in public represent the love that they enjoy in secret when they're alone together? Love does not boast, it is not proud. Jesus does not boast, he is not proud. Everything about what Jesus did and said was done without boasting or smugness. He was God, he threw the stars into the sky, and yet every encounter he had oozed love for the ones he was with. Everything we see Jesus do in the Bible, he does for us in secret places, in the secret places of our hearts, without boasting, with great gentleness and humility. He cleanses us just as he washed the feet of the disciples. He brings healing and wholeness, just as he did to the many in the Gospels. He forgives and restores, just as he did to the low and the outcast in the Gospels. And he does it in the secret places of our hearts, if we would allow him, maybe this Lent.